Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to another one of our Return of Pink 5 commentary tracks. This is a Volume 1 commentary track, just to make sure you're going to be watching the right movie. And our guest is a friend of mine. How long have we known each other? It's been since
I think it's
99?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Going on 8 years?
What, 7, 8 years?
Yeah. My friend Lauren Day. Now, we originally met at Sony, at a division of Sony, on some theme park sort of things. And some
that's right.
Location-based entertainment.
Yellow Submarine.
Yellow Submarine. And you actually weren't on Yellow Submarine. You were on another project, but we would see each other around the office and going out for lunch and talking about how everyone else we worked with was an idiot, which I think was our bonding thing that
probably
brought us together.
Probably.
And then we ended up in Japan together for, what was it, three months?
Yeah, four months, actually. Yeah.
But more pertinent to the commentary, of course, is that Lauren is, and you had to write this down for me because otherwise I would
that's
never
right.
get
it's
it
right.
It's
a little confusing.
And I'm really sorry for that, but you are the 2005 U.S. Adult National Silver 3 Ladies Gold Medalist Figure Skating Champion.
That's right.
So you're going to have to break that down for me. So 2005 U.S. Adult National Silver 3 Gold Medalist.
Adult skating is, contrary to what it might sound like, we're not skating naked. It's not, you know, not rated
or
anything.
Do they have that somewhere? Or?
You know, probably, but it's cold.
Okay.
It's the U.S. Figure Skating Association's special competitive track for those who started skating as adults.
What's
three
that?
Is an age class. It's age 36 to 45. Now, silver goes pre-bronze, bronze, silver, and gold.
Okay.
Since winning the silver three national championship in 2005, I've since moved up to gold, where I'm having to work a little harder to place well. It's challenging. Everybody's landing doubles and doing more difficult spins. But, you know, it's a great challenge.
When we were together, when we were working together, I don't know, were you doing the ice skating then? You had done it,
and
then you
got
back into
it. I had been doing it, but then I got so busy with work, I had to quit for 5 years
because for me,
eligible.
It was this weird surprise where, you know, I was, hey, what are you up to? Well, I'm figure skating. You're what?
Yeah, everybody thinks I'm one of the moms when they see me at the rink.
And then you get out there and you just start rocking the house. Because I've seen you. I've since gone out and seen you. Several competitions I've gone to see you. And I have to say that it's weird to see someone that I know doing all that stuff that I thought only 17-year-old Asian girls could do.
Well, thanks.
You know, and I mean that in the nicest possible way that I see you as a 17-year-old Asian girl.
Oh, no, absolutely. My role models are 12-year-olds, you know. they haven't gone through puberty, and boy, they just get that rotation in the
They're
air so
bendy.
Fast without those hips. Oh, yeah.
Their center of gravity is really low, and they can just get away with murder out there.
Oh, it's disgusting, yeah.
Is it just age that then prevents you from going on to Olympic caliber? Or?
Well, I mean, technically there is no age limit, but your body finds it harder and harder to land doubles and triples as you get older, especially if you learned them older.
Really? All right. Well, I think that sort of sets the stage well enough. Just for those of you who don't know how to do this, or this might happen to be the first commentary you've listened to, and if it's not, then I apologize for the repeat. But just in case, you want to open up an online copy of Return of Pink 5, Volume 1, start it playing. You will see the commercial at the beginning. Then you will see the blue Long Ago in a Galaxy Far Away logo. It will fade to black, at which point you will restart this commentary just as the Pink 5 logo appears on the screen, and that's when we'll start talking about the movie. So, time to pause the commentary and start your Pink 5 playing. 3, 2, 1, pause. And there we are, in sync, watching Return of Pink 5. If you're not seeing the credits, you've done something terribly wrong. So first of all, do you have a competition coming up now, or what's is there a season
you know, it's
to
just,
this?
Yeah, we're just getting ready for the season to start. I've got, you know, a competition that's going to be sort of a warm-up competition before Pacific Coast Adult Sectionals, which is March 3rd and 4th here in Los Angeles. And Adult Nationals is April 10th through 14th. Gosh, where is it? Chicago.
That. That's amazing. Now, I went to see one of your, what was that I went to last? Was that the finals?
No, you just came to a local competition.
Oh, okay. So here's a question. I'm not even sure of the answer. Have you ever actually met Amy?
There yes, once I have I met of. Amy.
It was
I
it one of the
twice.
Film festivals?
Yep, film festival.
All right. So anyway, in this scene here, for example, there's Amy, and she's got this is the golden bikini, of course, which is a very iconic thing.
Oh, yeah. It's a great costume, but, you know, that's not going to fly in any USFSA or even International Skating Union sanctioned
competition. Now, why is that? Because normally
it's,
they're very...
Well, if you look closely here, you'll see she's got a bare midriff.
Oh, okay.
And at first I thought, well, maybe that's stretch illusion fabric, nude stretch illusion fabric. Boy, I can't even say that.
this is a skater thing
which,
that the rest of us don't know
about. Yeah, it's, you know, when it looks like they've got a bare midriff, they really don't. It's always going to be that sort of nude mesh, which is allowed. But the bare midriff where you can see the belly button, like Amy there, that's a costume violation, and that's minus 1 point, which can be a lot.
Now, how do the points work? Do you start from zero, or do you start at 10 and
well,
they deduct?
Or? No. Every element has a point. You can have a program that's worth zero. As a matter of fact, there was an Indian Paris team that I believe they had like 0.3 was their score. They were the first Indian Paris team in history. They did a throw single salchow, and there was sort of a poor landing, so there's a negative grade of execution on that.
And that's like the record.
It's got to be the lowest ever.
Really? So the bare midriff is out, but I don't recall ever seeing a skirt like that long either.
No, you know, that's going to be really problematic on spins. She can catch a blade on that. It's just not advisable.
Okay.
Although you also don't want it so short that, you know, you've got the wedgie thing going on. It's a couple of the Japanese skaters have a real problem with that.
Really?
Oh, gosh.
How do you say wedgie in Japanese?
You know, I can't.
Do they have a word for that?
I don't think they do.
A wedgie.
I don't think they do.
Wedgie.
You know, her presentation is great. She's in character. You know, you can tell she feels her character. She's not doing much right now. You're not allowed to stop moving, you know, for more, oh, I wish I knew that, could remember that rule, but you need to keep moving.
They actually do great on presentation, so the big
smile.
Oh, yeah,
that's half of the score. But
it's such a subjective thing. It's interesting that
you
there
know,
would be
it used to be more subjective, but now there's a new judging system. Yeah. The program component score, which is what used to be called the presentation score, it's now broken down into 5 different components that the judges have to judge individually, so it's a little bit more objective.
Do they get out there with calipers and measure your smile?
No.
You're
2 millimeters
off.
One is interpretation, one is performance, one is skating skills. For example, do you have good edges? Do you skate fast? Do you scraping toe picks, whatever? Choreography, and gosh, the other one's escaping me right at the moment.
So the attitude, the actual attitude you present is
that's all that technical stuff. That's interpretation and performance.
So, yeah. For example, here she's obviously not feeling it. She's not feeling a good mood. So how do you get yourself into a place where you're ready to go? I mean, can you just, okay, and now I'm happy? Or what's your process for getting into a good place?
I have technique cue words that I sort of go over in my mind to remind me of what to do when I'm out there and my knees feel like jello. Deep breathing, it's cliche, but it really does work. Okay. And you don't get the wobbly knees that just really ruin a performance, trust me.
Okay, wow.
You know, she's very good. She's got great presentation. She's clearly got clean elements, but I haven't seen her do a spiral sequence.
And what is that, a spiral sequence?
Well, it's not required for the men. It's not something they do, but the women have to do both a footwork sequence and a spiral sequence, or in adult skating at my level, just one or the other.
And what is a spiral sequence?
You're on one foot, you know, the other leg needs to be above the hip.
Okay.
And you have to hold each position for at least 3 seconds.
Interesting.
It's a very technical thing. Yeah. You have to use the entire ice surface to at least 2 spirals. To get the higher levels, you need to have features such as either a Bielman position, which is one leg actually called...
the what position?
A Bielman. Named after Denise Bielman.
I thought
Bielman.
That's what you said, but
that's
I wasn't
right.
sure.
Where the free foot is actually above the head. That's
wow.
one. That'll raise the level of a spiral, a change of edge, where you have a clear change of edge where the spiral starts on an inside edge and then goes to an outside edge and completes the curve. That's a level, what I call an upside-down spiral, where the free leg is actually in front. And then you can add another level by then bringing the free leg to the back and holding it for another 3 seconds.
Wow. Those are the moves we're going to be seeing more in Volume 2, I think.
Oh, that's good. It's not a balanced program without spirals. People expect to see spirals. Now, he looks like a coach who's really got some presence.
You see, I mean, I guess the cliche coach is maybe the sort of the Eastern Bloc coach who's the very domineering, you know.
And that works for some people.
Does it really work?
Oh, it did for some people, you know.
There are different ways, as many ways as anyone would deal with anyone
but, you know,
to
the
motivate
current,
your client.
I'm going to go on a limb and say that the current style of coaching in the U.S. is the positive mindset, the encouragement. The you can do it, that was great.
Is that like... I mean,
you get nice coaches like, you know, Frank Carroll and Ken Kanjemi. The positive mindset. It doesn't work on all the skaters, but...
But
does
it, I mean, is
some.
It... Do you think that works just because that's just how we are as a society now, that it's all supposed to be nice and everyone's a winner and all that? Or does it really work? Or we just
I think sometimes it works and sometimes it just keeps the moms coming back and paying for the lessons, which is really important.
That's important too.
Yeah, it is.
You know, because there was this image for so long that a totalitarian regime But all they do is they just drill the skaters, and it's all their state-supported, where they were just unstoppable. There
isn't, you know, that works, too. That works, too. That works, too. And some of those Russians have now come to the U.S., and they're coaching here. And, you know, there's a little culture shock going on there.
I mean, you know where I'm going with this. I'm trying to open up the old argument we always have about whether the Rebellion or the Empire would have the better skating coaches. But I know better than to get you started.
No.
So we're coming up on, well, it's in gymnastics, you call it a floor exercise. What do you call it? It's called a program when
a
you
program,
skate.
A program, uh-huh.
And it's broken down into sections and components, and there are mandatory things you have to do.
Only in the short program you've got required. Oh, that was a terrible landing. Oh, my God. That's
right,
going to
so,
get at
yeah,
least
for example,
a minus one grade of execution.
So right now we're
I mean, it was landed clean, but there was no outflow whatsoever.
We're down on costume and down on a landing so far.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. Now there's going to be another move coming up here. It's like a spin. I don't know what the term would be for it, but
yeah, spin.
I mean, what are the basic components of a piece that you would do? I mean, what are the mandatory parts?
Okay. A well balanced program. The rules are different depending on what level skater you are, but generally.
Here comes the weight.
That was real excellent. Clean. Total control.
Now that was technically a paired kind of move. I don't know if that is graded differently.
I don't know. I saw him as sort of a prop.
Okay.
It was.
You can
oh,
have props.
That, okay,
can you
that
have
was
props?
That was bad. The prop is not allowed to touch the ice.
Oh, the
that's and that you know and that's the... then of course there's no props in a technical program.
But you can
know
have props.
In a showcase program you can have props. In an interpretive program you can have props, but they're not supposed to touch the ice.
I guess I just mostly watch Olympic stuff. And
there you go. Right, ice shows you'll see you know. People like Kurt Browning, you know, they'll use props.
Sure.
That's fine, but it's
but it
not...
can't touch the ice. That's interesting.
Well, except, you know, an ice showcase, they can't. It's kind of a... They're different levels, different sort of types of non-competitive, you know, non-technical skating that I don't really want to get into because obviously people aren't, you know, tuning
yeah,
in
I,
to
I,
hear
I,
about
I don't
me
know if,
talk about skating.
Yeah,
but,
I don't know if that's yeah. really what we're here to talk about.
Yeah. But that, but see that right there, that's like a spotlight. That
yeah,
would
that's
be
always,
showcase.
I always think that was that.
Showcase.
I always think of ice
think
capades
spotlight.
When I see this
yeah,
lighting.
Exactly. And it's hard to skate under a spotlight.
Is it?
Depth perception.
You just, you
oh,
can't
it
see the
just
wall,
goes.
I'm
it's
guessing.
So hard.
Wow.
Yeah, my friend Michelle, you know, she put an axle in her spotlight. Huh. Oh, boy. You know what? He's got to be at least class 5.
You know,
we call that
you,
56th death in adult skating. But 56, you know what?
Really?
There are some, gosh, at last adult nationals, there was someone who was like in his 70s or so.
Really?
Ice dancer, I think. Yep. You know, there's just no age at which it's over.
Now, there's a series of moves coming up here, and I'm just going to let you, you know,
sure.
as they go by, just let us know what you think.
Oh, well. Nice. Yeah, these pairs moves are difficult. The synchronization is really important. And relating to each other on the ice, very good.
Now, you don't have to marine in contact all the time or anything, right? There's
no, but if you're not in contact, then you need to be skating close together and exact same timing on everything.
Now, behind the scenes, do pair skaters, I mean, you always think of them, they're probably dating off camera, but are there pair skaters who just hate each other and it's actually a very
intense
rivalry?
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. Did you see? Well, they were an ice dance couple, and there's a lot of people who get confused between pair skaters and ice dancers, but you probably saw them at the Olympics glowering and glaring at each other.
Really? Who are they?
But, you know, it's, I forgot their names, Italian couple, and
okay.
Oh boy, yeah, they didn't
up.
Get along, but they still got on the ice and they did their thing. So
yeah,
it's,
I love that. That's what
it's
these commentaries
like
are for
together.
Is this insider
it's,
dirt
yeah.
that people want to know about.
Yeah, it's
skate.
Like, you know, you
so she
work together.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but so he would be a 56 to death
56
category.
To death, yeah, class 5.
And she's 24.
She would be class 1. Now,
okay.
Until a year ago, adult skating started at 25, and so all the classes had to get rearranged when they started letting 21, 22, 23-year-olds in.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, there's been a little resentment. You know, ultimately, you just have to skate for yourself because there's always someone better and always someone worse.
Yeah, I mean, always two there are.
So. Oh, yeah.
Actually, I remember you were saying before we did this, you had a comment about the hair. There was the hair before when
oh,
braid,
my gosh.
And then there's the hair down
yeah.
here.
Yeah, you know, that's not going to work. When she does her first spin or even jump in her program, that hair is going to fly right into her mouth, especially if she's wearing lipstick.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's incredibly distracting, very difficult to skate with hair, like, attached to your mouth or in your eyelashes. I've had to do it, and it's hard.
Yeah. Do you, if you reach up and kind of brush it away, does
yeah.
that throw
Yeah, I mean,
your,
it's an extraneous arm movement. It's not going to be good for your presentation, Mark.
Really?
Now, is she wearing pants there? Is she wearing,
she is actually, indeed, she is actually wearing pants.
Okay, now that's, it looks to me like it's more of a practice costume, not a competition.
It's probably a warm-up
costume, but you don't see a lot of pants. But ladies are now allowed to actually wear pants for a competition. That rule changed just about 2 or 3 years ago.
Well, that's good news.
It used to be mandatory for them to wear a skirt, and yet the men are not allowed to wear skirts.
That's really interesting. So
I know a man
who wears a skirt
who only wants to skate in skating dresses, and he's had the hardest time being accepted. It's tough. We've all got our challenges,
yeah.
But that's his. But that's really got nothing to do with here
no,
to talk about.
No, we're
the
gonna movie. We're gonna get back to our main topic. So I'm guessing Volume One, we're not really doing that well from a figure skating perspective.
You just need to go through the well balanced program rules a little bit more. The presentation's good, but you know it's just you need to make sure you're covering all your bases.
Well, I think that about does it. So you're starting a new, is it Seasons of Competition
yep.
now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So where could one go to see you compete?
I'm going to be competing at the Pacific Coast Adult Sectionals, which is the qualifying round for nationals, March 3rd and 4th here in Culver City.
So be sure and make a point. If you're a Pink 5 fan, you want to get out there and see the sectionals at the very least.
Absolutely.
So again, our special guest, I'm really grateful you came out. Thank you so much for coming out.
It's been a pleasure.
One more time, and I'm going to say it really fast. The 2005 U.S. Adult National Ladies Silver 3 gold medalist, my
you
friend
said
Lauren
that
Day.
Was perfect.
And I really appreciate you you bringing your perspective to the commentary. And maybe you'll come back and you'll do a volunteer
absolutely
Volume 2 commentary.
I can't talk about skating all day. You know, it's great to talk about,
I know,
about
just,
something
this
else,
a chance
you know?
To, like, get out and believe me, I understand what you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
So that's great. Thanks everyone for listening. Bye bye.
Was that good?
I think it's fucking hysterical.
I think that's fucking hysterical.